Everybody hear me all right?
Yeah.
We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 onwards. That's the next part of our Bible study. Feels like we haven't been here forever. Must be a couple of, at least a couple of weeks, isn't it? On a Tuesday we haven't been.
What was that, Charles?
We haven't been here a few Tuesdays. I can't remember. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Onwards. Do you know the song that we just sung there? I don't want us to be a church that sings lies. I want us to sing truths. And there's something about that song when we sing it. It seems that it's set down at the right hand. And it talks about he's faithful, he's righteous and true. And then we sing in that song, it says that he's my master. Do you have a problem with saying that tonight? Do you have a problem with saying that he's my master? Come on, ask yourself that question. Is God or is Jesus your master then? Okay. What does that make you? Some of us still have problems with that because I want to be my master. I want to be my master. No one tells me what to do. You cannot be your own master and call God your master at the same time. He has to be your master. And when we read this song, it fits. As we read later on tonight, we go through this in the Bible study, it fit. So I'm going to read this out of NIV. I think it's just a little bit easier reading. And it does talk about some subjects that it's self-explanatory. I'm not going to explain them, but there is plenty in it that I want to talk about. So we'll read it right the way through. Verse 12 right down to verse 20. It says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by any. Food is for the stomach and stomach for the food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins of a man commits is outside of the body. But he who commits sin sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, but you were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body." Let's just have a time of prayer. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you, Lord God. I thank you this night. I thank you for the privilege, my God, of being able to share your word and minister your word to your people. I thank you for that, my God. And I do pray, my God, that this night that you would help, my God. Give us understanding. Give me the words to say, my Lord. And Lord, give me the attitude to say it in, my Lord. I pray, my God, that you would minister to your church, Lord. Give us understanding. I ask in Jesus' name. Now, at this very beginning, it says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial." Now, in the King James, it says, "Everything is lawful for me, but not everything is beneficial," or helpful, the word is. Now, when you read back, it talks about the things that wasn't lawful. If a man does these things, he won't go into the kingdom of heaven. But all them things was unlawful at that time as well. It talked about immoral behaviour, it talked about drunkenness, and all them things that it talked about wasn't lawful at them times, neither. Public drunkenness wasn't lawful. Public That's how it was then. So they was talking about them things. And then he goes on to say that everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Now, for us as Christians, we have been saved. We've been set free from the sinful nature of this world, or our own sinful desires. But there are things that are not beneficial to us. Things that lead us astray. Now, somebody in here who's had a problem with drink, and I use Johnny, because you had a problem with drink. Not letting the cat out of the bag. I think Johnny shared with us a few times. So, it's not wrong for him to have one pint of beer. That is not, there's no sin in having one drink. Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. He said that Timothy was abstaining from it, not having none of it, but he was allowed to have a drink because it was like medicine to him. But it would be wrong for somebody who has a problem with it in the past to be taking it now. And for testimony's sake, amongst us as ministers, we don't drink for the testimony's sake of our mission. And brothers and sisters, I would say this to everybody, for testimony's sake, for everybody around, we abstain from these things. We don't have to show people that we fit in. Do you remember when you first got saved, people say, I don't want to let people know that I'm an idiot now. I've got to show them that I fit in. I can go to the dance. I can have a drink. I can do these things. I've just got to fit in. I just don't do it to excess. Do you know something? I think that's a lie of the enemy. That's just a fish hook to put in your mouth to draw you closer to the enemy's camp. And when we have these things, and when we read in the Bible that these things we can do, but they're not beneficial, there are things that we get caught up in that there is no problem with, but we can get caught up with them and they lead us astray. So there are things that are beneficial. Now, I can eat anything I want. I can eat absolutely anything I want. No law against that. But it's not beneficial for me to eat poison, is it? There's no law against it. I can eat the berries off every tree around here. I might not survive next week. But there's no law against it. I can eat them. So it's not beneficial to me. It's not helpful to me. And brothers and sisters, as Christians, we have to understand, we have to start thinking, what is helpful to my Christianity? How should I live my life? Is to say, what is helpful to me? What benefits my Christianity? Do you understand that? What is beneficial? Some things are not wrong, but they're not no benefit to you at all. And I'll tell you what Paul deals with here. He's dealing with things like, how close can I get to the world without still being a Christian? That's what he's dealing with, really. Because as human nature would have it, and I've used this illustration a few times, if there's a line in the middle of this building, this side you're a Christian, and this side you're not, as a Christian, we want to live as tight as to that line as we could possibly live. Do you understand that? Does that fit? Can I be a Christian and still do this? Have you ever asked that question? Is it all right for me to do this and still be a Christian? Well, there might be the Holy Spirit talking to you. And it might not be beneficial to you. It's not helpful to your Christianity. You might struggle in a different area than me. You might. I've never been drunk in my life. I didn't like drink, so putting a pint of beer up here or giving me a load, it wouldn't interest me. But to another person, it would. Putting a load of creep cakes when I'm on a diet, I would probably fall. But do you understand that there are some things that would be a poison to some people and not others? But we have to focus and put our attention on something and look, view things in a different way. Not to live a tightwad Christianity where you're on the edges of falling off, or with the company that you keep, you can keep as much company as you want. Bible says that bad company corrupts good character, and you have to learn who that is and what that is. If every time that you're with somebody that you end up doing things that are not godly, then you have to question that, don't you? So is Paul is saying here that there are things that are not lawful, but they're no benefit to us. I can remember we used to have youth meetings in Leverett, and we had youth meetings there for years, and I was a part of the youth work there. And I can remember there was a years ago. It was in the youth then, years and years. I don't know why I'm even trying to think how long ago. It was probably over 30 years ago, but I was doing the youth meetings. And there was a fella that come there, long-haired. I thought he was a weirdo, but he was in this youth meeting. And he went, "Yeah, but I just like dancing." I went, "Yeah?" He went, "So I go to nightclubs, I don't take drugs, I don't drink, but I just like the atmosphere and I just like dancing. Is that wrong?" I went, "So hold up, you were born again Christian, dancing on the dance floor, and that's, yeah," he said, "I don't get involved in that." He said, "But I just like dancing." And from my brain, I couldn't work out what this fellow was trying to say. And I'm like, I'm all confused with him, thinking, "You just want to go there and dance." I couldn't work it out. And I went, "Do you know what? You're going to have to ask one of the ministers, because I ain't got a clue." But it was confusing to me, because I'd never done that, never been brought up in that. But that man's putting himself in a wrong place, with a wrong crowd of people, for things to go wrong. And we have to learn, for us as Christians, that it's not benefit, no benefit to us, to put ourselves in places, around people, that has no benefit to our Christianity. You have to witness to the world and be a testimony to the world. But it's very, very difficult when you're the only Christian in a group of people and you're leaving yourself stranded. And there are things that we get caught up in, but they're not beneficial to our Christianity. Not beneficial at all. But there are things that are... there's no problem with. So if someone wants to go to a concert to watch Chris Stapleton, alright, much of a problem with that. If someone wants to go up and watch whatever show there is in London, I don't know what's on. I can't see there being much problem with that. There isn't. But if there are places that you go and you say, "Look, there's no problem," but you make them problems because you're in the bars whilst everybody else is watching something, then that is a problem to you, isn't it? And you have to learn to deal with them things. So when Paul is saying everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, young Christians fall in these areas. Older Christians should know better. And Paul is telling the Corinthian church that it should know better. And he is saying to them, "Look, okay, these things can be beneficial. These things you are permitted to do. I'm sick to death with you asking me these things." Remember, a man asked Jackie once and said, "Look, is it wrong for me to have a pint of beer every day? Can I have one a day? So I only want one." And he went, "Well, look, if that's all you want, there's no problem with you having one a day, there isn't." He went, "Well, how about if I save them all up and just go out on a Saturday and have seven? Is that all right?" So it was like he's trying to deal with his own sin, and he's trying to make deals with things, and that... you can't do that in your own Christianity. If it's wrong for me to do, then surely it's wrong for you to do. I'm no superstar. I'm a Christian, same as everybody else. But the point is this, that not everything is beneficial to our Christianity. We have to learn what is beneficial, and we have to learn what it doesn't help us. So it might be all right for us to do. It might be lawful for us to do, but it has no benefit to us. But then when Paul says this again, and he hits it again, he says, everything is permissible for me, but I won't be mastered by anything. Paul again is saying that. He said, look, things might be beneficial to me, but I will not be mastered by none of them. I have one master, and that is Jesus Christ. I will not be mastered by anything. Now, brothers and sisters, I'll say this, you should not be mastered by addiction. You shouldn't. You should learn to master your addictions. Because they stop you from doing things in the Lord, don't they? That's the truth. And we should be able to get above them. We should pray to the Lord, seek his face, and rise above it. I'm not trying to say about that, it's easy. I don't think it is easy. But I am saying here that we shouldn't be mastered by anything. You know, the Bible says, and he says at the end, doesn't he, we was bought at a price, and I'll go there in a minute. But the Bible says that before we knew Christ, we were slaves to sin. We'd done what it wanted us to do. We went to places that our sin loved to be in. We rolled ourselves up in things that wasn't godly. And we was mastered by it. Do you know, before Christ, we have no ability to say no to sin. We're going to sin, that's it. We're going to do these things. But now Christ has come into our life. The Bible says that he gives us the ability to say no to ungodliness. That now we have the free will opportunity to say, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. I don't have to do it. I'm not doing it. So when we sing that song that he's my master, there's only two masters that you're going to have in this world. Only two. You're going to be mastered by your own sin, or controlled by the enemy, or you have God as your master. Unfortunately, human beings, we're not mastered by ourselves. We don't have that. We're sheep. That's what we are. And whether you like that or not, you have to have an understanding that sin has its desires and it wants to have its way with you. And you master it, and you only master that by having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, who has conquered sin, who has conquered death in our life. And he gives us the ability to overcome the rubbish of this world. And he is my master. But when Paul says this, he says, all these things are permissible, but I will be ruled by none of them. They're not going to be my master. I can stop it all if I want to. I'm not going to be mastered by all these things. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, as Christians, we should have control of our bodies. And this is what Paul hits here. He's talking about our bodies and that we should master the body. We should. Now, I have my own struggles. I eat quite a lot and I'm a little bit overweight, probably a couple of pounds. I'm carrying a bit of Christmas weight, even though it is only coming up with December, but it's from last Christmas. And I know how hard that is for me. I know that I have a weight problem and I struggle with that. But there are brothers and sisters that struggle in other areas, that have addictions. It doesn't give you the right for year after year after year to keep struggling them same addictions, them same things. We have to learn to master them. That isn't me saying that to you. That isn't me. That isn't my words. This is the word of the Lord. This is what God says. Master them. Don't be mastered by none of them. Don't be ruled by them. Don't let them things that master you, or them addictions, take you places that you shouldn't go, or wouldn't want to go, or can't serve the Lord in an area because of addiction. You shouldn't have that. You should be able to master it. And it's not just people have all different addictions. Their brother Billy who comes here, addictions with gambling. People have addictions with all different other things. And we have to learn to master them, not them to master us. He went on to say that food is for the stomach, and for the stomach is food. He goes on to talk about desire. And he talks about our human nature. He uses food and he uses immorality. I'm going to say that word immorality for what I want, to eat, or what I want to do with my body. That's my right and nobody else's. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's wrong. That is wrong. And I'll tell you why that's wrong. You were bought at a price and Jesus Christ paid it. No longer you live for yourself. No longer do I say me. I say, Lord, what do you want? It's you. I was bought at a price. Our desires we have to lay down. Our life now we honour God with. He says, by the power of God, God raised the Lord Jesus from he raised him from death, and he's also going to do that with me. But the stomach and the food and it's the flesh and its desire will all burn one day. It will all burn one day. It will all mean nothing. And if you lived your life, living your life for the desires of your own sinful nature or your own flesh, that's all going to burn one day. And that, what he's saying is, it's all meaningless. All that desire, all that lifestyle, all that you've ever lived, all that you ever wanted, if it's to do with the flesh, if it's to do with the body, and it's no good, it's no benefit to you, that's all going to burn one day. So what's the point of living for the stuff that's going to burn? Because he would talk in 2 Corinthians about the things that last forever, the gold, the silver, the precious stone, the things that we serve the Lord with. He talks about this, he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? The beautiful picture of the church is that Christ is the head. That Christ is the head of the church. And that we're all members, we're all part of the body. I think it goes on in 1 Corinthians 13 or 15, he talks about that. That we're all part of the body, that we all have our role to play, we all have our jobs to do, if you like. And he's saying that the air bodies here, that what we have on this earth, we are now joined with Christ. Do you know, the one thing that I definitely know that we are predestined for, and that's to be like Christ. We are to be like Christ. That's what we're predestined, that's what God wants to make us into, the image of his Son. That's it. And that we have to live our lives in accordance with how Christ lived his. And that we have to be an example like Christ was an example to the world. And if this church is an example to the world, the best example that we can live is like Christ. So we have a responsibility now. We have a responsibility to one another, but we have a responsibility because we were brought out of Christ. We're the children of God. Verse 19, it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Just think about that. Just think about how did God design that? Why did God want that? That he wanted us to be a temple. Now, what is a temple? It was a place where God's Spirit dwelt. That is what that temple was for. It's where God's Spirit dwelt. Jesus became our high priest. He became our sacrifice. So, in order for there to be a right priesthood in Israel with the temple, it had to have a high priest. He had to have a sacrifice, but he also had to have the temple. Jesus has become our high priest, and Jesus has become the sacrifice. Do you know who's the temple? You. So inside of you dwells the Holy Spirit, dwells God. Is that a part-time thing? Is that something that comes and goes? Go on, you can answer that. I'll let you say that. Does it come and go? God's not an Indian giver. He gives and gives. The Holy Spirit is giving you, and you're born again. He's giving you his Spirit. And that indwells. That doesn't go away. Do you know when it talks about we can grieve the Holy Spirit? We can do these things. That Holy Spirit that lives in us. Something that dawned on me last year or the year before, I can't really remember now, but something dawned on me. Can you pray to God without moving your lips? Can you pray to God in your mind? Can you quietly just pray to the Lord? I've been in situations with unsaved people around me, and I'm just standing and I'm just praying to the Lord in my mind. I'm not moving my lips. I'm just thinking and I'm praying in my own thoughts. Anybody else ever done that? Well, in that place it's called your conscience that you're praying in, you're there. God never leaves that place. He never leaves it. So everything that you see, say and do, every train of thought that runs across your mind, God sees. Because that's where God dwells. In the innermost part of man, God dwells. So every train of thought that you have, God sees. That's why when the Bible says God knows you better than you know yourself, God knows everything about you. He knows your very faults. That's why you can sin by what? By fault. We all think that that is a lonely place where I just dwell and I can think about anybody and anything and that have my own mind run away with me. But God dwells there. So every fault that you think, God sees. God is there to answer the prayer. But there's never a time that you're ever going to be on your own. Never. Now, as human beings, sometimes we want God to be on our own. We do. And the Uncle Jimmy Garski, he got saved. Gives his life to the Lord. Comes into church one weekend and he says, I want prayer. And he was a deep speaking man.
I want prayer, Jim. I want prayer.
And he come up. Hey, what do you want prayer for? He went, I can't take it no more. When I go to sleep, he's on my mind. When I go out calling, he's on my mind. Wherever I go, he's on my mind. I can't get him off my mind. Just tell him to give me a rest. That's what he wanted prayer for. That was my Uncle Jimmy Garskin. That's what he wanted prayer for. What he was saying, when he was going out selling saint, he couldn't tell a lie no more because God was on his mind. When everybody was going, leaving church on a Sunday night and going into the pub, he felt convicted. He needed God just to get him away from his mind. He couldn't be on his own with his own faults. And that was our understanding back then. That was how he was. We was all right. Yeah, but I know what he means. And let me tell you something. Us here as Christians, we know what he means. We think that when we're ready to sin or do something wrong that God leaves. No. He sees all. He sees you as his child. He loves you. And that's why he prepared and make a way out. That's why he's there. That's what he does. Do you not know that your bodies are a temple? What, and God leaves? No. I suppose there is a point of an apostate where God does. That he backside to a point where he's left God completely. Then maybe so. I just want to say to you this, that we are the temple of God, or the temple of the Holy Spirit. God sees all. God knows all. You can't keep God. You can lie to yourself, but you're not going to lie to God because he knows every fault about you. He knows it all. And that's what he says. Do you not know that your bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, think about this. When you give your life to the Lord, you are never on your own ever again. Never. You're never going to be on your own. Now, for me, that is a great thing. There are times that I wish the Lord would just go, Lord, I'm taking off my coat. Lord, I'm going to go and do something now. I wish you'd leave me. But God doesn't do that. He is with us. He doesn't leave when sin comes. He doesn't leave when you're in a pub and your arm's getting wet up there and you're drinking and you're getting drunk and you're talking the dribble of this world. And then God's left. God's trying to do a work with you. He's trying to say, I don't want you in these places. I don't want you there. Because to tell you how you know that, when you open your eyes the next morning and conviction hits, you're like, Lord, why did I do that? That's what Christianity is about, because God indwells. When you're doing things that you shouldn't do, when you're taking things that you shouldn't do, when you're sinning in a way that you know wrong, it isn't just a mistake, it isn't just a fell again, Lord. But when you're sinning and you're deliberate and you know, you cannot live easy with that. And the reason why you can't live easy is because Christ or the Holy Spirit dwells within. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit leads us into righteousness. The Holy Spirit teaches us, it guides us. You are not your own. Come to that old song that we just sung. You're my master. You're my owner. You're not on your own. Now, I like the idea that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is there with me. What a beautiful statement that is. I want that. Do everybody else here want that? I want that. But it doesn't leave when the times that you don't want it. He's there all the time. He sees all, knows all. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. These verses from 12 to 20, he is talking in a way that he's talking about our desires, our fleshly desires, what the body wants and what the body is looking for. He's teaching us and he's talking that we don't belong to ourselves. This body doesn't just belong to me. He's talking to us in a way that he's saying that we have to put to death the desires of the flesh, the desires of what we want. And why is that? In verse 20, you were bought at a price. I was paid for in full. I do not belong to me, I belong to God.
Amen.
If you belong to you, then you believe that everything that you do is on me. Yeah, Lord, I live the way that I want to live. I do the things that I want to do. With no fault of God, you wouldn't pay for. You never give your life to the Lord. He wasn't bought. Those that are bought and paid for understand one thing, that I belong to the Lord. And I personally have no problem with that at all. I have no problem with saying I belong to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions? Any questions about what we spoke about? I know it might seem like I skipped over some, but if you want to read that yourself when you get home, or if you want to ask questions later, you're more than welcome to. But that is the theme of that. To deal with the body and put to death its desires. Praise the Lord. That's it. Any announcements? Oh, I can't believe you get round to through that.
No men's meeting Thursday.
We was going to have a men's meeting this Thursday.
We coincided with the prison, we realised for the last minute.
Johnny cancelled it.
Just bring it away tonight. It's a drunk
Johnny
that.
Cancelled it. He's a drunk that, yeah.
Not allowed to keep an evening.